everybody, it's me, Roscoe, and welcome to another Kings of Anglia fan social, maybe our biggest ever show for the biggest game in a very long time. Thanks everyone for joining us on all platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Instagram, we have to pay a bit extra, so we're not going to go that far just yet, but we may do. But yeah, thanks everyone for joining us. If you're watching or listening on a different day, if you're listening after the game tomorrow, then it's a bit of a, doesn't really matter this, because you already know what's happened. But if you are, then hello. But join us every Friday night, and I'm joined by three fine gentlemen this week. It's normally just two, but I thought we've got to make it bigger. So I brought in another extra guest. I'm joined by Bainsey, Ben Diaf, and Mark Beck on his return to look ahead to a very big game on Saturday against Huddersfield Town. I want to go in this order here. I'm going to go with Bainsey first of all. My friends, how are you feeling for a very big game at Porton Road?
Yeah, not too bad, all things considered. I think I'm just trying to shut it out of my mind for a little bit until sort of like tomorrow kind of morning. But obviously that's an incredibly difficult thing to do considering the stakes that are there to be won. So yeah, great to be involved in great company here tonight. Looking forward to looking at a historic game for us.
Yeah, mate, it's massive. I'm going to go right to Mark Beck next up, my friend. Great to see you. We've been recording these podcasts for the last few years. You know, League One days, one season of Championship, 1 point needed. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Not too bad. I think if you're going to bank on any Ipswich team to get it done, it's probably is this one, to be fair. But you haven't seen a lot of me this year, have you, to be honest? I've done many games, if any game days. I haven't been on here, so I feel like I'm a last-minute substitute when we're 4-0 up just to come and get my, hopefully, to get my promotion medal. So, people have seen me talk about Ipswich for years. They don't hear any more from me, to be fair. But it's been a nervy old week, but we're nearly there. One more game, one more point. Let's get it done.
Yes, my friend. Now, I did bring you in, getting the band back together, and also the fans who were there in League One going home and away and seeing us lose against different teams and stuff like that. But yeah, great to have you back, my friend. And Ben Diaf, who I had a nice company with at Coventry. I'm sure you recovered from that, my friend, and now getting ready for another big game. How's things?
Yeah, thank you, Ross. Coventry, obviously, we'll talk about, I'm sure, a little bit, was great night in the end. Fantastic. Absolutely loved it. I say, in the end. And a pleasure to be joined in such fine company this evening. The veteran Mark Beck, everything Ipswich Town, and Bainsey, as always, obviously has some fantastic thoughts on there. Well, look forward to hearing his thoughts on what is, as you said, a historical game for us tomorrow. I can't wait. It feels a bit like Christmas Eve. I think there's some nervous anticipation on what presents I might receive tomorrow, but cannot wait, my friend.
Yeah, we've been naughty or nice, we'll find out tomorrow. And as you can see, if you're watching, ladies and gentlemen, got the Wembley 2000 shirt on. I thought I'll wear that to get ready for tomorrow. And what we're going to do quickly is we're going to talk about Coventry, because obviously that was a game where it felt one step closer to the promised land after that 2-1 win. So in normal fashion, I want to go to you, Bainsey. Your one word to describe that win, and what a win it was indeed. 11 minutes, which was not good for any of us watching that, but they got over the line, made it 2-1. But yeah, your one word, my friend.
Excruciating. I think in terms of this season, all of us have had a fair tolerance towards stress and late goals and late drama. I think almost we've been able to maybe write off a little throughout the season, because of course it mattered, but it didn't matter as much as Tuesday. It was just absolutely horrendous. So great start. Obviously, Kiefer Moore absolutely buzzing. My little ones were asleep, so I had to do kind of like a very muted screen not to wake them up. But then Coventry, my goodness, that is not what we're expecting at all. They really, really gave us the game, really, really gave us a hard time. And then when the equaliser went in, throughout the season, I've just tried to kind of be a bit zen about equalizers and not think too much into it. Always think like, well, the point's fine realistically because we could win against Huddersfield, just to sort of like, you know, get my, you know, frame of mind right and not feel too disappointed. And then, yeah, how Cam Burgess got that in the back of the net is beyond me. But again, just an absolutely mental. And obviously the ref jogging off at the end. Was it his microphone? Was he injured? What was happening? Clock just kept going and going. Yeah, it was awful. I did the opposite of Heathie, tried not to desperately look at the timer in the hope that it would go along quicker. But that was incredibly difficult. But yeah, my goodness, what a game that was. Unbelievable in every sense of the word.
Yeah, and there's a massive clock as well in Coventry. Where the away end is, there's a massive clock. So you couldn't really... Well, maybe town fans couldn't see it because obviously you're sort of in front of it. I looked up and went, bloody ass, massive. But yeah, Mark, your one word, mate. That was a big win after, yeah. You know, a very...
Probably euphoric. I think a lot of town fans hold Barnsley quite dear to their hearts from last year. I think this is on another level, and it was better and worse at the same time, if that makes sense, because obviously the stakes are that much higher, and it was almost, we weren't comfortable as fans anyway. I think the performance, I think the team did really, I think they were brilliant on the day, to be fair, defended everything with their life. But when you're in the crowd, and like we say, when we've got 11 minutes added on, that is a long time to just sit there on a 2-1 lead and go through it. But yeah, I was with some of my good mates who have done the hard graft in the League One level. When the lad was next to me when that equaliser went in, and he's there with his head in his hand, sat on his seat, I had to pull him up and say, come on, mate, we've got to keep singing, come on. When Cameron Burgess stuck that one in, I think you could probably hear the cheers from Ipswich. It was that loud. But yeah, phenomenal. I've got bruised shins. I've got bruised chest. I don't know what happened to me. I went a bit quite animalistic, but I just ended up like beating my chest after every goal. I haven't seen myself, luckily, on any footage yet. But yeah, I'm not going to show you because that's on my OnlyFans, but I've got a massive bruise, self-inflicted, on my chest from just the absolute sheer emotion of just pounding my own chest in celebration. But yeah, really amazing night. Even though we had a couple of delays on the way home, we flew home as well. And yeah, it's amazing to have two of those games in two consecutive seasons, really. Just truly special night.
Yeah, all worth it, mate. Those journeys were for after, you know, that performance and that win. And yeah, if you want to go check out Mark Beck's OnlyFans, he'll let you know how to get there. And you can see his bruised chest. Look forward to seeing that. So yeah, very good. Ben Diaf, you were there as well, my friends. The scenes afterwards was amazing, from the, you know, players celebrating, but also just outside, everyone just singing along, chanting, knowing that they're... We are one step closer to being a Premier League team once again. But yeah, what's your one word, my friend?
Well, it was tense. Tense is my word. A little bit boring, a little bit obvious, but it was incredibly tense. And when we scored the first goal, I think it was so early, I did feel joyous. And then I think when we got the second goal, it became a little bit more out of the blue. And I think it was just relief. I remember I had my scarf with me. I'm just sort of holding it like a baby holds like their blanket, just almost like comfort, like anything to comfort me. We couldn't see the big clock, which of course the rest of the stadium, because you sort of glanced over to the left all the time, see the smaller scoreboard. So it was easier to avoid the time, but the game did feel like it went on forever. And there's something amazing about football, and you know, I'm sure all football clubs have the same in terms of the support. When you're surrounded with that many people all sharing the same emotion, you know, it's beautiful in one way. Because it's, you know, phenomenal just to share that with so many other thousands people, and watching other people's reactions, hearing other people's reactions throughout of sort of like silent swear words, the sort of noises from some people, just like, and you know, the constant get it away, the nonsense that comes out of people's mouths as well, and then the relief, the ecstasy at the end was obviously just a collective in that town, and it was beautiful. It was an amazing evening, despite getting a little bit lost on the way back to the car, which me and my dad went separate ways because I stayed to do game day, and I ended up having run around half of Coventry. But that's a different story for another time. It was a fantastic but tense evening, Ross.
Indeed. And yeah, a game that we'll remember. Just like Barnsley, we're going into that game, I think this could be Barnsley 2.0. Of course, a very different game in terms of how it sort of panned out. Obviously, Barnsley was, you know, 3-0 win and happy days. But now they got the win and, 1 point needed, ladies and gentlemen, for Premier League football. And I don't think anybody put a bet on for Cameron Burgess to score the winning goal. And that is sort of the nice little link up to this next question for three of you. And also one in the chat, get involved. Some great comments so far. And who has been the unsung hero? I think there's been a lot of players. All the players deserve credit, but anybody that really sticks to your mind, Bainsey, that's been a bit of an unsung hero, maybe not get as mentioned as the normal ones like Sam Morsey and co.
I've gone left field because I thought Mark and Ben will probably go with a player. I'm going with a member of the coaching staff, and that's Martin Pert. I think for all the plaudits that Kieran McKenna has rightly got, we've probably got the hottest, you know, hottest manager in terms of up and coming prospects or whatever in the English Premier. Definitely, he's the name on everyone's lips at the moment. But he's only as good as the team behind him, and Martin Pert is such an important part of that setup. I think, especially with, you know, this is only what Kieran McKenna's sort of second proper season, having someone behind, you know, next to him, beside him, using him as a sounding board, you know, reasoning with him when he's feeling angry, you know, keeping him on an even keel. I think he's just played such an important role. I think assistants are easily forgotten because obviously Kieran McKenna rightly gets the plaudits, but I think he equally deserves them as well, and the coaching staff as well, because they've got us equally to the position we have. So yeah, my unsung hero was Martin Pert.
Nah, good choice. And sometimes we do forget about the coaches. Like someone's put the fitness coach here, Alex has said, which is very right. Definitely the medical team with the miracle hands they've got, getting George Hurst back, Wes Burns back, and all the other players who have come back like that. I think we've got to praise a lot of that. And obviously, McKenna and Mark Ashton have brought in these other staff members, like even Lee Grant and Rennie Gilmartin and stuff like that. Mark, any players you want to mention or anybody else unsung hero?
I mean, Burgess is the obvious one. I think a lot of people probably would have seen him play at Barrow on ITV, getting turned inside out by a player who I don't even know where he is now. And we've kind of thought when we got promoted the season after that, yeah, we probably, Burgess has run his course, but, you know, he's gone to be an absolute stalwart at the back. I don't think we look the same when he's not in the team. And he's fully deserving of his Australian call-up. But my unsung hero is his compatriot, Massimo Luongo, who's not missed a match. He's only missed three matchday squads, one through suspension, I think two through injury. As much as Sam Morsy, we love him, but he's got a right good partner next to him. And he gave everything on Tuesday night. Massimo was everywhere, mopping up loose balls, doing what he's done. And he's come up with some big goals this season. The winner against Blackburn, also got one against Middlesbrough to get a point there as well. You know, he's gone above and beyond what we expected. And I don't think many people, again, when Jack Taylor came in, I immediately thought, right, Jack Taylor's starting, Massimo's minutes are going to dwindle. And he's not played in his previous clubs. You know, he went to Middlesbrough from Sheffield Wednesday last season, wasn't it? And did get a look in. He kind of thought maybe that was going to happen again, but he's just carried on that partnership with Morsy, and he's been superb. And I don't think he really gets the credit, you know, and he's quite rightly got that new contract. And yeah, he's fully deserving, you know, like Cameron Burgess was, of getting those Australia call-ups. I know he's retired now, but, you know, both of them have been worth their weight in gold. Maybe Aussies are all right. We don't really like him at cricket or rugby, but maybe they're all right at football. We quite like him.
Yeah, definitely. I think once again, it maybe praise the medical team, because obviously Massimo had so many injuries at his previous clubs. I think, you know, when I was speaking to Sheffield Wednesday fans, even QPR fans, I think how you got him playing week in, week out. But, you know, he's doing that and he's doing it well as well. So, good old Mass. A lovely bloke as well. And he's also a good coffee maker as well. He makes some good coffee.
Beautiful smile, isn't he? He's probably one of the best looking footballers we've got in the club.
I think so, yeah. And he's got, he's just, when he does the press conferences and speaks to the media, he's just so just calm. He just sort of there, just having a chat. So he's just an Aussie. I think most Aussies are friendly, aren't they? So if you've got any Australian listeners listening, let us know. Always good to have you on. But yeah, Ben Dia, you've got two great shirts behind you, Morsey, Leif Davis. They're not unsung heroes because they get mentioned all the time, but they're obviously fantastic players. But have you got any other players in mind for you to that shout out?
Two excellent shouts by, almost want to say colleagues for the podcast anyway. I wrote down George Edmondson as a player, just because I think he has not let us down when he's come in. And I think when he's come in, he's often been in difficult circumstances, away games in particular. He's almost specialised in those. So and that is definitely a difficult job with this side, because away from home we do tend to sort of scrap it out a little bit, to you know, get try and nip a goal in front and then and try and see out the rest of the game. So I've gone for George, but I've also written down following Baines's lead really as well. I wrote down Lee Grant, just because we've scored again over 90 goals in the league. Absolutely extraordinary. You know, he works with the forward players, even though he's a ex-goalkeeper. And I just think for a side that I know it's talked on the main podcast this week, that we could tomorrow have almost bar two changes, possibly the same team that went up from League One, second in the Championship, ahead of Leeds, ahead of Southampton, ahead of Bo's Idiots up the road. Like, absolutely phenomenal effort. I still think we've kind of gone under the radar. We've gone under the radar for so long, even when we're so close now, we're still under the radar. That I think the achievement is absolutely out of this world for Ipswich Town Football Club, from where we've been to where we are now. Historically, you know, Sir Bobby, Sir Ralph, etc. We've heard that story many, many times. I'll always love to hear it. But this group of players, this manager, this backroom staff is very, very special. And because we've gone under the radar, they're almost all of them are unsung.
Yeah, very much so. And that actually segues nicely then. And maybe Ben knows what we're going to be doing next. And that is, what is, you think, the main reason why Town are in this position? And yeah, I think that the team that could play tomorrow is pretty much the team we played against Exeter. And, you know, minus, you know, maybe who, I don't know, like Vaz obviously is in goal. Obviously, Vaz came on as a sub in that game.
Axel maybe?
Axel right back. And like, you'd think
maybe Kiefer.
Even more. Well, obviously, we'll do the lineup shortly, but... The rest of the other team is as obviously Hutchison and also Sammy Into and stuff like that, but everyone else as they were. So crazy, just unbelievable. Bainesy, what is that one reason? If someone asks you, I'm sure we all get asked now, you know, we're outside or whatever, if they're not a Town fan, they go, how are they doing it? What is that main reason you think Town are doing what they're doing?
I think it's like what Ben alluded to. It's consistency and lack of player turnover. Obviously, we had the demolition man summer, you know, a couple of years ago. That absolutely needed to happen. And we're very thankful for Paul Cook, because there are still some remnants of that transfer window that have suited us very well. But yeah, I think I don't think you could see many sides going up from League One and pretty much playing the exact same team. And that consistency, and more importantly, that chemistry as well, is huge. I think that was, you know, part of the thing of George Hurst and Wes Burns coming back in. It's like, they know exactly where each other is going to be. Wes Burns knows exactly where George Hurst is going to run. It's easy. It's just like muscle memory. So the fact they haven't had that player turnover, the fact that it's all the same staff, it's all the same setup, all the routines, everything's been set, you know, in place from League One, you know, getting the coach from Playford Road to Portman Road, all these little things just adds up to make a big difference. I think if you've got your structure and your systems and your players in place, then you can literally say, just go out and do it again. I think the only difference was obviously they needed to be fitter in the Championship, because the amount of kilometres they needed to run per game was significantly more. So obviously, Burnley was mentioned on the main pod. But apart from that, if you've got your players in place, your structure, your coaches, it's like you've got your system there, you've got your style of play. And I think that's what's enabled us to be successful and to hit the ground running. Just that consistency again from the really successful season last year.
And obviously, Kieran McKenna is that's another big reason.
Obviously,
management. Obviously,
that's what I'm saying.
But we're also joined. Before I go to you, Mark, John Walk's with us again. Good old John Walk. Promotion feels like ages. Yes, John. Good old Walkie. But yeah, Mark. There's so many different avenues we can go down about why Town are where they are. Obviously, momentum from last year. But yeah, what's your sort of main talking point?
It's probably carrying on from what Baines has just said. It's the continuity and togetherness of the whole group, like keeping that core group together, made such a difference. And I don't know where it's been instilled from. I imagine it's from McKenna, but the respect that they have for each other within the group and the value of them as people that they put on the emphasis on as well. You look to Tuesday night, Junoy Donassian hasn't played a lot this season, but he started the season. He had a great game at Sunderland. McKenna brings him out at the end and gives him that praise. And even the players who aren't here, you know, people like my boy Freddie Ladapo, but people like Carl Edwards, people like Greg Lee, McKenna's values them as people and he wants the best for them. And I think he wants the best for this group. And that really shows the mentality. They're absolutely monsters at it. I've never seen an Ipswich team like it. It's always been the Ipswich way. It's like, well, when's the banana slip, you know, banana skin going to come up? When are we going to trip up? When are we going to concede that late goal? When are we going to have that key loss? Hopefully not on Saturday. I think that's gone now, hopefully. But under this team, it just everything seems possible. And I think it's down to the mentality and the togetherness of this group. And I genuinely think that comes from McKenna. But, I mean, we could be here, well, until kickoff tomorrow talking about what Kieran McKenna's done for this football club. What Mark Ashton has done for this football club and what the owners have. They've really turned it around. We were probably at a stage post-COVID where we probably could have become a Bradford or an Oldham if we hadn't got these owners in and what they've done since. And yeah, it is truly special. It really is. And yeah, I'm very proud of them. Very proud to be an Ipswich fan.
Yeah, what a journey it's been under Game Changer. And Ben, yeah, obviously last year we had that unbelievable promotion from League One, and this year with, you know, wildest dreams, you know, it's been unbelievable. But what's the one thing you always look at and go, that's one of the reasons why we are where we are?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the it's a good question, Ross. I love the question because it's actually very difficult to answer, because there actually isn't just one thing, is there? It's all these little things added up to make one big thing, and that's why we've done so well. But as you've asked me the question, I will say one thing, and I'm going with the blatant obvious. It's Kieran McKenna. The guy is absolutely extraordinary. Just the way he handles himself in every aspect of the job. Not just when you talk about the football side of things and the tactics and the way we attack teams, the way we build from the back, the way he treats his players, the in-game substitutions, the in-game tactics, the little dark arts, like all those little things. Then you move on to the way he speaks to the media. You know, your colleagues, Ross, have talked about it all the time. He just respects everybody, you know, which a lot of managers do not. You know, you only have to look at all the nonsense that goes on Match of the Day, Sky Sports. You know, a lot of those big time Charlie managers do not speak to the media with any kind of respect whatsoever. I know it's a stressful job, but Kieran seems to be able to manage it. Times, I know he's had it, you know, he does a great results. It might get tougher next year if we're there. It will be a lot tougher on him. So it will be the acid test then. But he must have had an incredible upbringing in terms of being very humble, knowing how to treat people in Northern Ireland, and he must have had some fantastic coaching, obviously at university and then Spurs and Man United. I just think it's Kieran McKenna. Anytime I get stopped in the street, you know, living in Cambridgeshire, supporting Ipswich, there are quite a few people, more and more seem to keep popping up all the time. But from my community, my friends, my family, it's always a bit like, oh, yeah, that's Ben Diaf. He's an Ipswich fan. So more and more people now just keep asking me about Ipswich. You know, they know I'm such a big fan. They ask all the time, how have you done it? And I always just say, it's not one player, but if I have to point anything, it's Kieran McKenna.
Well said, my friend. Well said. Just going to go back to this comment here, and it's sort of given my ego a little bit of thing. Unsung hero, let's not forget our Roscoe. What a journey from the first time you started the YouTube stuff. Well done. It's not just me. It's also these fine gentlemen and everyone else who's took part. The contributors are the unsung heroes as well, because if I didn't have them, this wouldn't be a show. I wouldn't have game day. So those are the unsung heroes as well. So shout out to everyone, especially Bainesy, Ben and Mark Beck joining me on this Friday night. Because, yeah, I'm sure they've got nerves. They've got nerves. And also we'll do our predictions, our preview ahead to the Huddersfield game. Because, yeah, it's one more sleep, ladies and gentlemen, one more sleep. But, yeah, I actually want to bring this up, boys. And once again, we'll chat about this so much through the summer. But this is another comment I saw. I brought it up and it's from Steve Catchpole. A worry for me is how we cope with the need for new players to be integrated into such an established core group, which, if you think about it, it has happened a little bit this season. We have signed a few different players, haven't we? But yeah, anybody want to mention, say anything about this? Mark, I know you're good at this, Mark. So you want to take it away, first of all?
I mean, if we get all the result that we expect, I think we're in for a shock with the amount of players who will continue to play. I think a lot of people are expecting, I know we've gone from League One, hopefully, to the Premier League in 2 seasons. But what we've just been saying, the continuity and togetherness of this group, that won't change that much, I don't think. Obviously, we know we need to add some probably experience in places. But you look at a team like Sheffield United when they went up the first time. I know that seems like a long time ago for Sheffield United fans, but that first team they went up, there's players are still there. Chris Basham's still there. Ollie Norwood's still there. Like there's players that are still in that team who've stuck through it. And I think that we won't see... I think we're very measured with our recruitment. We don't go out and bring the wrong characters in. I think we'll approach it exactly the same should we go... Even if we don't go up, I think the recruitment will be exactly the same. For the right characters, the right types of players at the right stages of their career who will fit in with a group of brilliant players that we've already got. So I don't think there'll be a mass turnover in any division that we're in. Obviously, there's quite a few players out of contracts and players that have served a long period with us. There'll be some sad goodbyes. Some players who many may have felt like we're surprised they're still here. I mean, Caden Jackson's one who, you know, I could see him staying, to be fair, but he's one who's been on this journey with us. He was here when we got relegated all the years under the terrible, neglectful owner we had before. Through this wonderful journey that we've had to this point, you know, that'd be a sad goodbye for him. Players do tend to stay on longer than people think. I think it's not as easy as just, you look at someone like, even someone like Hull. Hull have signed a lot of players. It's not quite worked out for them. Nottingham Forest are another one when they went up, signed. I mean, I reckon Steve Cooper, bless him, he didn't know what was going on. There's a new face coming through the door every week. So I don't think we're going to be like that. I don't see us changing one bit because that's the club we are. We're together. Every man is together in this. Every man or woman is together in this. So, yeah, be interested to see what happens. But, yeah, I think we're in for a shock. I think a lot of these boys are going to be Premier League players, and quite rightly so.
Yeah, just a special group. You know, I think this group will just be remembered as much as the 2000 boys back in 2000, obviously. Baines, you want to add a comment onto that, or shall we segue on to the next bit? Baines, you've unmuted yourself, so you've got something to say, take away.
I think you've got to give some of the players a chance, haven't you? You know, they've done so well to get to this point. I think there were probably a few names on people's lips of people saying, well, they won't cut it in the Championship, they won't be able to do it. Burgess probably being one of them, and he's just been converted into an absolute elite Championship centre-back. So I think you have to give them respect that they've built the club to this point. There obviously will be some changes that will need to be made, but as Mark said, it'll be completely measured. You know, it'll be the right player for the right position, character, everything, to make sure they are the right fit for the club. And I think it just gets easier when you've got those standards in place. It's like, this is how we play, this is our club, this is what we do. It's so much easier to then identify players when you've got those character traits in place. It's not just like, oh, we'll just pick him, he's good. It's like, well, would he fit? Is he a good fit for the club? You know, is he community minded? All these things add up, character. And it's great that we've got those things in place that will mean that I know that if we do go up, we'll keep saying if, because we have to keep saying if, that anyone who comes through that door will be the right person. It won't be for their name or who they are. It'll be because Kieran McKenna said he's the right person, and Mark Ashton, everyone else said there's the right person. So, yeah, I think I have absolute faith in whoever we bring in, and whoever leaves, as sad as it may be, it's just part of moving up. But, yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Yeah, Ben, you want to add any more comment?
Just very quickly, if it happens, it's a little bit uncomfortable talking about this, and we could talk about it tomorrow night. We could talk about it for the whole summer, as you said, Ross. But if it does happen, it would just be incredibly exciting. Ipswich Town's hand will never have been stronger, ever, in its history, because of the money involved in the Premier League, because of the manager's reputation in the game. You know, football is a small world. Everyone will talk, players will talk. It will be exciting for players to work under this exciting young manager. We will have identified our targets, but it will just be, yeah, it could be an incredibly exciting summer. And you know, the guys nailed it, Bainesy and Mark nailed it. We'll be measured in our approach. We will only go for the right characters. We'll just go for the right number of players. And like, we missed out on targets for what seems like a lot of money this summer. It didn't work out. Well, it hasn't so far come back to haunt us. And if that happens again, so be it. And we'll give it our best shot.
Yeah, and obviously players get to play in front of, you know, packed out Porton Road, packed out away days. You know, we have such a... Sometimes it actually just surprises me sometimes, the amount of following we have away as well. Like, the amount of packed out away ends, I'm like... Sometimes I just get so surprised. Like, Ipswich Town is such a massive club. We are a sleeping giant, as we've, you know, been called so many different times. And I think that's going to shock a lot of teams if we do go to the Premier League. We don't want to jinx it too much, but we are going to do a massive predictions. We are going to be chatting about Huddersfield very shortly. But we're going to have a nice little break here. As traditional, we're going to do the strike just to mix that up a little bit. And also, I like to see people fight, going head-to-head. Mark Beck, Tom Baines, Bainesy, and Ben Diaf go head-to-head. And Michael went to Ben, perfectly put. So there we go from Michael there. So there we go. And also, Steve went, thanks to you, Mark, for your answer to his question. Thanks to you, Bainesy, as well. You got involved. But they just pinpointed Mark and Ben there. It's all good, though. But we have got five questions, plus a tiebreaker, as ever. It also links up to birthdays this month. I'm trying to think who has a birthday tomorrow. And if they are a former Town player, and they'll like go, bloody hell, my former team may have gone up. But we're going to start with question one. We've actually a player who's currently actually at the club now as a coach for the under-21s, and that is David Wright, who celebrates his birthday, I think it was yesterday. I'll get up in a sec. But his shirt number, what was his first shirt number at Town? Was it 12, 20 or 24 squad numbers? People, get your numbers out. I'm going to have a quick look when he does turn his birthday. When is his birthday? His birthday was on Wednesday. He turned 44, if you're asking. They're right. Obviously, the assistant to John McGreal. But yeah, what squad number, boys? Anyone, of course, play at home. Get your pens and paper at the ready. Let us know. But yeah, 12, 20 or 24. But yeah, this is his first squad number. Of course, he came number two. When obviously he was able to get the number two. But what do you reckon, boys?
12
as well. What's that? Is that 20? Sorry, Ben.
24. Sorry, it was 24, Ross. I thought Richard Naylor was still 12 then. Maybe not. Ooh. Maybe he'd left.
No, well, you're all wrong. It's actually 20. Ooh. 20. And of course, Peachy knew it. Of course he did. So there we go. Peachy's already won it up in the chat. So there we go. I did say to him, I was thinking about, if you ever win the strike live on the show, I just bring you on as a guest just every week and see if you get beaten. You just come on for the strike bit. So maybe Peachy, you know, you're playing at home right now. If you do win, then I'll have to just get you on again. But yeah, question two is on Shane Supple, the Irishman goalie. And he retired, of course, from football back in 2009. And, of course, he came back after playing a bit of Gaelic football and started to play Gaelic football in Ireland. For which team was it? St. Bridgerickins? St. Jude's or St. Vincent's? St. Bridgerickins. I think that's how you say it. But, yeah.
Was he on a Ross Meats? I seem to remember it. He was on a Ross Meats. Yeah. I vaguely remember.
During the lockdown.
He was number 12, wasn't he? I swear he was number 12 at some point.
He probably was, yeah. Yeah. That's not the question mark. Because if it was, you get a point. But yeah, Shane Supple celebrates, I think he celebrates his birthday tomorrow, Shane. He does. He's 37 tomorrow, Shane.
Woo, 37. Oh, Supple by name, Supple by nature.
Oof, there we go. He came back, obviously. And he got called up to Ireland, didn't he? The senior team. And obviously Roy Keane was there at the time. But yeah, he had a whirlwind. Obviously, he stopped playing because he just fell out of love of football and played a bit of Gaelic football. He actually did pretty well, I think, for Gaelic football. I think he won like a trophy, a few titles, I think.
Who did he win it for, Ross?
Well, we'll find out when you tell me the answer. So there we go. I've been tricked before. Not this time. I'm on point this week, just about. What do you reckon, boys? So it's still all to play for. Peachy's 1-0 up at home. Let's see what other people are saying. Peachy's gone 31. I think that's...
I've gone St Vincent's as well.
Oh, gone St Vincent's. Wow. Wow.
I'm sure there's a band called St... or a female singer called St Vincent. So that's the reason I went for it.
Yeah. Well, you're wrong. It's one. I completely butchered, but it's St... Brigids. Can you get Mary on, Ben? Can you tell her? She probably knows how to say it properly.
Probably does, actually. I don't know where she is. She might be tending to our son.
That's fine. It's fine.
It's bedtime.
Yeah, that's more important. But yeah, you're all wrong. Everyone else in the chat, Steve's got it right. So well done, Steve. Peachy, he sent St Vincent's as well. So he's thinking like for you guys, but still 0-0 then.
See, great minds, Ross. All great four minds. Us.
Great. Yeah, indeed. Question three is Andre Dezelle celebrates his 25th birthday today. So happy birthday to Andre. He made his debut, obviously, historically when he came on and scored, just like his dad did as a 16-year-old. But who did he replace in that game against Sheffield Wednesday? Came on at half-time. Was it Kevin Brew, Kevin Foley or Jonathan Douglas? A lot of people are shouting us, going, why are we talking about former players? Because, a lot of these... didn't play during the time. Obviously, I've got a fetish. I've introduced Town ex-players. Like, even today, I've done, two stories on ex-players with Jim McGilton and David Healy going head-to-head in the Irish Cup. And I've also done a story on Richard Keogh, who's also announced his retirement. So all the best to Richard. Obviously, last year was part of the team who got us promoted. So he won't be...
He won't be karaoke. Yeah,
pretty much.
Not great on pitch.
Yeah, he did okay. But what do you reckon, boys? Was it Kevin Brew, Kevin Foley, or Jonathan Douglas?
Kevin Foley.
Brew.
I've gone Brew.
Ooh. Well, let's have a little look in the chat. Let's see what other people are saying. Peter's gone Foley. Kevin Bailey's gone JD. I think you mean Jonathan Douglas, not Junoid Dinashan. Douglas, Alex, Dominic Green. But the correct answer is this one here. And it's also what Mark Banks done. It is Kevin Foley. There's a 46-minute substitute, or I think it was just a half-time substitute. Yeah, Kevin Foley. He was more...
So pleased one of us got it.
Yeah, that would be bad going into question four. Like, no one's got up points. But Mark Beck with 1-0 up going into question four. And question four is on a bit of a rogue player. He only played once for Town, but celebrates his birthday. And he's currently the manager of a non-league side. And that is Daryl Knights. Obviously, an Ipswich boy. He's the manager of which non-league side? Was it Alvechurch, Hitchin Town, or Stourbridge? Stourbridge. I was right first time.
Didn't he come on against Sunderland?
He did at Stadium Light.
Yeah. That'd have been a better question because I'd have got that.
Yeah, but I thought that was too easy. I needed to do
this. This is a niche strike, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, there's a
niche one.
Get ready for the next question because that's more niche. So,
more niche than a player that's played once for us. Wow.
Yeah.
Someone who hasn't played at all.
Yeah. No, this player has. This is actually one of my favourite players growing up.
Is he part of the youth FA Cup youth winning team?
Yeah, he scored a few times in it. But he's Ipswich born lad. Celebrated.
Daryl Knight is manager. Oh my God, I'm so old.
I know. But I think he basically took over. And I did this as a story on our website. So, proves, although it was
about other things, Ross.
Yeah, true that. Let's see what other people are saying in the chat. A lot of people going Hitchin Town, Stourbridge by Peachy.
I've gone with Peachy, even though I've been dire. I've gone for Stourbridge,
and the correct answer is Stourbridge. Peachy's got that right, Kevin Bailey's got it right, Mark Beck and Ben Diaz got it right. Bainsey, Hitchin Town is a club that Stephen Gleeson got relegated with. Of course. Yeah, Stephen Gleeson. Remember Stephen Gleeson?
Oh, this is a Liam Neeson.
Remember him?
Liam Neeson. No, not him. Not him. I put on. He's got a new film on Netflix, and it was fine.
They just Taken, but slightly different.
It was basically based in.
They're all like that now, aren't they?
Yeah.
Just playing. Yeah. But yeah, fair play to Liam Neeson. He's, you know, he's just pan the checks, you know, and stuff like that. Pan off his whatever.
Yeah, he has to pay those, isn't he, somehow?
Yeah, true that. So it is 2-1 going to question 5, the final question. And it's on Jamie Peters, who celebrates his birthday, I think, tomorrow. Let me just get up quickly. And yeah, he was one of my favourite players growing up. So he's just.
Mr. Work Permit.
Yes, Mr. Work Permit, indeed. His birthday's tomorrow as well. He's 37 tomorrow, Jamie Peters. Yeah, now, he joined town from which German youth setup? There we go. You want a niche? Here's the niche. Is it Kaiserslautern, Mainz, or Werner Bremen? So, yeah.
I think I might know this, but then I'm gonna make myself sound even worse if it's not right.
Ooh, we'll find out. But yeah, he obviously was born in Canada and was in sort of like he came on trial to different players. I think he's actually on trial.
I remember being really excited when he signed.
Yeah.
It was very exciting.
It was at Bayern Munich as well and stuff like that, I think. So yeah, it was just mental. Oh, what's going on? I'm hearing some breaking news. Maybe not breaking news. Let me just double check this. Let me just see. No, ignore that. That's just Idris has basically done a 25-minute video of him leaving Leyton Orient because obviously he's been there the last 2 years. I thought I was like he's signing for Leyton Orient, but no. Anyway, back to Joe Peters.
What 25 minutes.
Yeah, but he was there for 2 seasons. You know, League Two title and stuff like that. Yeah, we'll be interested. Once again, I mean, have a conversation for another day about Idris and different players who are out on loan. Big Fred. Mark, discussions will be spoken about. Yeah, Jamie Peters.
Nathan James is what bastard.
Yeah, I know. Didn't bloody play him.
Yeah.
Oh, poor form. So here we go then. Ben, he was confident. Werner Bremen.
And Kaiserslautern.
Ooh. Kaiserslautern. Peachy, I don't know how many points he's got now. I think he has got a lot of them right, and he is right again. And Ben, pardon?
Has he spelt it wrong? Or has he spelt it right?
I think he has, maybe. Let me just see.
No, I think that's right. No, Peachy's got it right.
He has got it right. Oh, no, wait. Let's quickly get up. Let's get up quickly. I'm just going to... Although I can't say much. My spelling's dreadful.
Well, he spelt it the same as you, Ross.
Yes, so he's fine. Yeah, Peachy's fine. So he's got it right as well. So Peachy has won it overall. But Ben, you are live on the show. So you have made it 2-2. So sorry, Ben.
Desmond.
Happy days. So a tiebreaker is needed without going for the gamble. Baines, you still play at home, my friend. But yeah, tiebreaker time. Of course, closest as out of Mark and Ben, whoever gets closest, you win. But Baines, if you get a bang on, my friend, you could maybe steal it. So we shall wait and see. But yes, tiebreaker time is on how many times has Town beat Huddersfield in 23 games at Portman Road? So there we go. Obviously, we're playing Huddersfield this weekend, but how many times has Ipswich Town beaten Huddersfield Town, the Terriers, in 23 games at Portman Road? 23 times. I'm trying to think the last time we played Huddersfield at Portman Road, because it's been a while. I think the last time...
2019, around
there? I don't know, because they were in the Premier League, weren't they, for a little period? Have a little look.
So we got Colin Quayner, didn't we?
Yes. No, we have 2017. Last time we played. No, 2016. October 2016 was the last time we played them. I won't tell the score because that may give it. I don't know. Give an answer away. I don't know. Doesn't really matter. But yeah, 2016. I'm trying to think who was playing that time. They're actually top of the league, Huddersfield, at that point.
That's where they went up, I think.
Yeah, I think they must have done. Yeah, must have done. I'm trying to think who was in our team back then. Bart was in goal. Yeah, Douglas was there. Leon Best was up front. Let's move on from that team straight away. Deary me. But yeah, Ben, Mark, get the closest. Bainesy, if you get a bang on, then fair play, my friend.
15.
Oh, I've got 15.
What the? Wow. 15. Deary me. And, well... That is actually correct. It's actually bang on. It's actually 15.
Yeah.
So, wow. Let's see what people say. Well, I could do that. I could go, well, okay, there's 15 wins, but how many times have we lost? So there we go. That's the tiebreaker then. So obviously that means is 8 games. How many times have we lost in those 8 games that's left? So, Ainsley, good guess though, my friend. Not, another day, that would be a perfect guess. But for some reason, Ben and Mark have got it bang on. What was I thinking there, boys? Did you just feel we had a good record against them? I think we have, obviously.
Yeah, overall.
Yeah.
It's affected this answer as well.
Marcus Stewart scored, didn't he, against them when we just signed him?
Yeah, true. On his home debut one, I think. That's his home debut. Because, of course, he scored on his debut.
At Barnsley, and then then we played them almost straight away under Steve Bruce's manager, I think. Then,
yeah, madness,
right?
So defeat, yeah,
I've got two, yes.
I've got five, three draws, it's quite a lot, isn't it?
Well, let's quickly get it up. Well, it is 15 wins, 5 draws, 3 defeats. So, Ainsley's got a bang on, but I'm sorry to say, Bainesy, you weren't really playing at this point, but you get involved. But Mark Beck is the closest, too. So you are the winner, my friend. Take it away. Speak.
Doesn't feel right winning on a question about how many times Huddersfield have beat us. So.
Yeah, that's not great. Did they beat us the last time? They must have done, surely. Pardon?
Did they beat us the last time we played them?
Yes, and I think that was the first time they beat us in like 20 years or something crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah, but no, let me have a quick look. Peachy went 5 as well, Ben. Alex Dominic Green went 3. Kevin Bailey went 3. And obviously Bainesy went 3 as well. So another day, Bainesy, once again, you would have won. But the boys got up bang on with 15 wins, which is 15 wins, 5 draws and 3 defeats. It's not too shabby as a record against Huddersfield. And that segues nicely onto the game, boys. The Terriers, who are virtually down, they will need a miracle, an absolute miracle. And that won't be good for us if a miracle does happen. That means they beat us and we've got to hope Leeds drop points. But they have to, I think, win by like 15-16-0. I know Port Road sees a lot of goals, but I can't see that happening. But yeah, shall we start off with just how you see the sort of game panning out? Bainesy, your overall thoughts? Should we talk about the team, actually, first of all? Because it's been a busy, you know, week. You know, we've had Hull away, Coventry away, obviously night games as well, travelling back early hours. I know, as you mentioned, Ben and Mark, they're travelling back on the Tuesday night, you know, the A14, bloody A14 closing. So they would have got in very late. So yeah, changes could be interesting. I think McKenna says a few niggles, but nothing to worry about too much. But obviously this is going to be an interesting lineup because this will be the team to start, you know, to get us over the line. So anybody want to start off with their just round off their team? Any surprises, do you reckon? What do you reckon, boys? Take it away. I'm happy for people to shout out, do whatever you want to do.
I suspect minimal changes, I think. Maybe just the two. Maybe I think they're quite a physical team. Like, the centre-half's top scorer. So that kind of says it all, really. Where the goals are coming from. It's going to be set pieces. I think Moore will probably retain his place as much as we want to see Hurst up there, just because he's good at defending. That's an underrated part of his game. You want to talk about unsung parts of the game. Kiefer Moore defending corners is exceptional, to be fair. I think Wolfie might come back in just because he's kind of a stalwart at home. And when we've got more of the ball, it's kind of the player you want. Fridge has been brilliant, as Ben mentioned. Don't think he's really put a foot wrong, to be honest. Since whenever he's been called upon, he's had a good game, to be fair. I think Chaplin might come back in. I'd like to, in my heart, I'd like to see Burns, Chaplin, Broadhead and Hurst, obviously, to finish it. But I think it'll be Chaplin for Broadhead, Wolfie for Edmondson, and that'll be it. I think we'll see the same boys go out and do what they've done all this season, hopefully. And I think it's gonna be an interesting game. Like, I think those comments from the Huddersfield manager is probably as much as relaxed us. They go, yeah, but this is Ipswich. Like, this is that sort of thing sets it up for it to be a Huddersfield advantage, because their players are not going to be available, because he doesn't want players who are either disruptive or not going to be there next season. So I think it'll be an interesting game. Obviously, like you say, Huddersfield, if they stay up, fair play, because they've had a blinder, like, and they might as well go and all buy a lottery ticket as well, because the luck's in. But you know, they're not going to make it easy for us, are they? But odds are probably in our they certainly are in our favour. We just expect us to. If we get the early goal, I think it might be a quite comfortable afternoon for us. I think we could easily shut up shop and, you know, have some nice goodbyes for players as well who may not be here next season. So hopefully it goes that way. And I think if I was a betting man, that's likely how we're going to see the game kind of go.
Okay, and as we said at the start of the show and throughout this show, we're going to try our best not to jinx things, because obviously we're going to be talking about a lot of, you know, what can happen, what, you know, what we think, you know, potentially can happen. But that's what you do, don't you, as a football fan? You predict things, you talk about things. But yeah, Bainesy, Ben, how do you see this game going? Bainesy, go with you, my friends. Obviously, last year, like, we knew if we beat Exeter, we're up. And obviously, that was a rout. We're falling up at half-time, and that was happy days. Do you see something similar this time around? Obviously, Huddersfield may be a bit better team than Exeter City. They were very much on the beach. Huddersfield, I'm sure, I wouldn't say they're in a similar boat, because they sort of know they're down, but obviously there's a lot of players there who will be fighting for their future as well. I'm sure there'll be a few maybe young Huddersfield kids as well wanting to show what they can do as well. But yeah, how do you see this game panning out?
I did see one Huddersfield fan on Twitter pre-Hull suggesting that if we were up by the time their game come around, if we could lose 15 or 16 nil, it's like, you know, compensation for nabbing Marcus Stewart all those years ago. But obviously the whole game threw that away. But yeah, this feels like one of kind of like the last hoodoos and things and hurdles to overcome. You know, like, we never win on Sky, we can't put a run of wins together, you know, we're not good after international breaks, etc. This just seems like the last really big step and last monkey off our back of, this is the biggest game in our history for a very, very long time. Can we rise to the occasion? I think that is most certainly yes. I think it would be just like Exeter. Obviously, it would be really, really nervy. Obviously, the stakes, the money, everything. But we should have more than enough quality. I know we have to respect Huddersfield and what they're doing. They obviously want to give us a game, but this team is exceptional and remarkable, and that can't be overlooked. But yeah, I'm similar to Mark. I think where possible, you keep the team the same, bar a couple of minimal changes. I think I agree, Wolfenden will probably come in. It'll be nice for him as well. You know, his arc as a player, you know, an Ipswich lad, he was very, very, very close to being out the door. He somehow, you know, survived Demolition Man, and he's been a, you know, stalwart under McKenna. So it'd be great for him, a great day for him. And then, yeah, as Mark said, let's give some appearances to players who might not be with us next season. That'd be good. Maybe Christian Walton. Maybe if we are 5 or 6 up, maybe we can do the reverse of what happened last year. But yeah, I'm hoping they'll make it comfortable. So I will predict 3-0 Ipswich, get it wrapped up in the first half, and a third in the second. It'll just be party all round.
Well, getting the predictions in early. So we'll do that right now, actually. Why not? Because we've got a few other little questions I want to ask the boys. Ben, what is your sort of like your prediction and how you feel this will pan out as a whole game?
Yeah, I think McKenna often says, you know, it's all about us and our processes and how we approach the game. And as Mark and Bainesy have talked about, our consistency this year, we know, I think, particularly this stage of the season, particularly after a fantastic win on Tuesday night, you know, just very quickly on that, no other team in the top six has gone to Coventry and won. We're the only team to have done that. That is a huge, huge, huge achievement. Not just in isolation for the game and what it meant to the club and to the fans. Just winning at Coventry is an incredible result. So they're going to be full of confidence. So I actually think it's all about Huddersfield in terms of where the result will be determined. If they turn up and make it difficult for us, it could be a slightly awkward, you know, nervy afternoon. If we get an early goal and they collapse like a house of cards, it could be a scenario like Exeter last year. So I actually think, yes, of course, Ipswich, you know, we control the controllables if we do what we do. But, you know, we've seen us do that and people can park the bus and it can prove difficult. They could you know, their top goal scorer, as Mark says, is their centre-half, is it Helix? Is that right? Yeah. I think he's got 9 goals. You know, they get a set-piece goal, but they concede a lot of goals away from home. A lot of goals. So we're always going to be in it. I'm backing Ipswich to do it. I actually think it'll be 4-1. I think we might concede because we often do at home. I think Wolfie will come back in, as Mark said. I think Hutchinson has to play. He's the most informed player we've got, the most informed player arguably in the Championship. Chaplin's been a little bit hit and miss since Christmas. He's still a quality player. If he starts, got no qualms about that. I actually just think the squad's just looking in great shape. I'm not that fussed. When I see the team sheet, I'm excited to see who's named. I won't be throwing my toys out of the pram, so I can't believe he's not playing. What's he doing playing that? In McKenna, we trust. Can't wait, mate.
Oh, it's going to be fun. I'm actually going to ask all three of you what your plans are for the day, because I'm sure it's going to be an incredible day. But yeah, Mark, we've done our... The boys have said their prediction. What's your prediction? Who do you reckon... Once again, we don't want to jinx it, but you've got to talk about these things. That's what we do as football fans. Who do you reckon will score the crucial goal that you'll think in your... Although we won't know until that final whistle is hit when we're like, yeah, we've finally done it. But when what is the one goal? Who do you reckon will score that crucial goal where you feel... Yeah, we've done it now.
I think it'll be 3-1. So I don't know what the crucial goal will be. I think I'll just say who I'd like to see on the score sheet, to be honest. I think it'd be really nice to see Morsi be one of them to finish it. Obviously, Wolfie would be amazing. I can't see it. You can get that clipped up now. I can't see Wolfie scoring on the final day. But if it happens, there you go. What else would I like to say? To be honest, I don't really care. But I love this team, and you know, there's not a bad egg in this group whatsoever. Well, there might be one, but he's not here at the minute. But other than that, the boys that are going to be on that pitch, the boys that are going to be celebrating the day, they deserve this, and any one of them makes a great story because it's an Ipswich story. It's not any player's arc. This is an Ipswich story. So, yeah, I don't really care who scores the winning goal or the decisive goal, just as long as someone does it, really. That's the most important thing. We'll stay 3-1 and they can choose between them. Football gods can decide who scores those goals.
I think the ideal player would be Junoy Dinashian, you know, just come back from injury, come on for the final minute, and he just goes and scores his first ever town goal.
That would be crazy. That would be
the perfect
I think we'd be on the pitch, but that'd be like... Have you seen, I think it's Tony Hibbert's testimonial, where he scores a free kick and they run on the pitch, like, it'd be like that. So it'd be crazy if it was something like that.
Oh, yeah, we're mad. And that's actually a good fair point, actually, what Mark said there, Bainsey, because, yeah, I think it doesn't really matter who scores because it will just be... Well, this team will be remembered, you know, in folklore, like, as we mentioned, they'll be remembered like the Wembley 2000 team. But obviously, whoever scores that goal, we'll talk about it. It'll be like the, you know, Marcus Stewart goals and the Jim Magilton night and the Wembley goal scorers as well. But it's a question you've got to ask. But what do you reckon? Who do you reckon will be the man to sort of step up and score that key goal?
Dinashian would be lovely, wouldn't it? For all the journey he's had, for all the times he's kind of been binned off, and he's just been a great servant to the club. Yeah, imagine him like a Royce-like goal in the playoff final, just smash it, and that'd be fantastic. But yeah, I can't see that happening. But feel free, as Mark said, to clip that up, see what happens. But I think Wolfenden, that'd be the perfect kind of poetic goal for me. You know, like local lads, stalwart of the Kieran McKenna, you know, era, nearly out the club. For, like I said, I think that'd be great for him. But it'll probably be, you know, Amari Hutchinson with an even better goal than we've seen him score before, you know, what a remarkable season he's had. You know, how many young players can say their first professional, you know, a season in professional football, promoted, you know, in one of the hardest divisions in probably, you know, to get out of, it's just remarkable. But yeah, Wolfenden for me. But again, as Mark says, couldn't care. As long as we get the result, not fussed at all.
Yeah. And I've gone for a 4-0 win, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. And I went Sam Morsi to be the first goal scorer, to captain the lead from the front, score the first goal. And then, yeah, do you know what? I'm going to go in the same mood as Mark and Bainsey. I'm going to go, doesn't matter who else scores from then often. They're off because I don't care. It will just be mental anyway. Ben, have you got anybody in particular?
I mean, obviously, Wolfie the standout. Harry Clark will be pretty good. A Thunder blaster from outside the box, a bit like his Blackburn goal, will be pretty good as well because of his passion. And Sammy Morsy as well. One of my favourite moments of the season was watching him score at Watford. That was absolutely fantastic in front of that away end. And if he did it in front of the North Stand as well, he's been an incredible leader for this team. We didn't actually mention him, did we, when we talked about one reason why this team is obviously blazing a field through the championship. But yeah, obviously Wolfie, I'd love him to kissing the badge and going absolutely crazy in front of the North Stand or just doing a lap, just do a lap in the Porter Road, a lap of honour.
A massive flag like he did at Exeter, just bring
it. Yeah, anything like that would be fantastic. I mean, Genoa is fantastical, isn't it? It's incredibly unlikely. But yeah, if we do it, it's not going to matter, is it? We're not going to care. I just hope I remember it all. I always think for these big occasions, like I was there at Wembley 2000, I was like 15, 16. I barely remember any of it. So must take some pictures, Ross.
Yes, yeah. Obviously now it's so much easier to just film stuff on your phones and, you know, there's so much content that gets chucked out these days. Of course, the club does great stuff. You know, we try our best to bring us best coverage as well. But yeah, this day will be remembered for very long time. And we were saying this off air, and this is another question, the hottest ticket at Porton Road since when, this game? Because obviously so many people trying to get tickets. There was a few tickets that went out this afternoon, but you had to be very quick to get them. But yeah, there's particular games, definitely Wembley 2000 probably up there has been a hottest ticket. But yeah, we're talking, Mark, off air about different games, and there's a few others we can think about.
Yeah, I mean, probably. I mean, there's a fair few small allocations for away games in League One, but I don't think they had quite the same gravitas as what Saturday's going to have. I think they have 23 tickets go on sale today. I'd like to see the queue for those. That would be quite interesting to see how many people were in that queue just to get those last glimmer of getting on there. But I mean, if you can't get a ticket, just queue up outside the gate at the South Stand and just run on the pitch when we're all on there as well, because you deserve to be. You could fill that stadium probably twice over with the amount of people that probably can't get tickets, to be honest, and want to share that moment if it happens. Other games, probably maybe Arsenal in the Carling Cup. I mean, maybe that's with the benefit of hindsight, just because people maybe wish they were there when we won rather than actually expecting us to win it. Bracknell in the FA Cup. But yeah, like I said, there's not, in terms of gravitas, this is the hottest ticket for the last probably 20 years, probably, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah, it's Collins gone FA Cup final, which obviously 78. Yeah, I'm sure that was a hot ticket back then. I'm sure the UEFA Cup final, although UEFA Cup final was in two legs back then, wasn't it? Of course, one at Porton Road and one in Holland. So, you know, that's a weird time. You know, just having a final, you had two legs. Too many games. Like you say, there's a lot of games, you know, these days. There's loads of games back then. There's like third replays in FA Cups. Madness. We won't mention that again. But yeah, what's your plans though, boys? I know, Bainesy, you're based in Wales. So unfortunately, not going to be at the game. But what's your plans on the day?
Yeah, so my, funnily enough, when I was looking at the calendar, I said to my parents, yeah, bank holiday, come down. It'd be great, ideal opportunity to come down. Obviously, not even thinking that this would be a possibility or a scenario or stuff that's up for grabs. But yeah, I'll just be watching it on the TV with my dad. And I remember vaguely being in a pub as an 11-year-old, for the Barnsley game. So it's quite nice almost that I'll get the same again. But I'll have more memories of this one in my kids will be around as well, so they'll probably see their dad just going absolutely mental, fingers crossed. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I think we deserve to be here. You know, we've done everything we needed to. Let's enjoy our day. This is our moment to savor.
This is our time, as Mark Ashton and co say, and obviously a great what's that voice note that gets shared about it with a big Suffolk accent? Love that. This is our time. Love that. And it is our time. Ben, I know you're going to be at the game. You're going to be there with your Dan and the normal posse. Yeah, what's your plans on the day? I'm sure it's a regular situation. Obviously, then we'll hopefully be celebrating in the town.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. As I said, I'm getting picked up and then hopefully get the train home or staying in Ipswich. I don't know. It depends, obviously, how the game goes and how the wind blows. But good old John Watson and I travel because I live just north of Cambridge and he travels from Doncaster. He stops off at mine and then one of us drive from there. I'll be sat next to him because he got his season ticket next to my dad and I. And of course, yeah, I mean, it's always special to... I think moments like these, and it could be such an historical game. You know, my dad is the reason why I support Ipswich Town. He's originally, from very close to Suffolk. He grew up in Brightlingsea, and he has supported Ipswich almost all his life, and brought me into that family. And my first game was Notts County, 1990. I fell asleep apparently as a 5 year old. I think in the old Pioneer stand. And so all my Ipswich memories, the big Ipswich memories, are with my dad, and it'll be emotional. You know, quite an emotional day, I think, tomorrow if we do it. I felt a bit emotional after the Coventry game, and I know there are far more important things than football, but like I said about the Coventry game, with all those fans, all those people showing that same experience, you feel like one big family. And then, you know, if we can and we do it afterwards, the whole town is just going to go off. I hope everyone's safe and does it sensibly, but I'll try to be sensible, Ross, but I can't guarantee it.
No, I don't. Yeah, it's going to be one of those days, just anything can happen. Mark, what's your plans? I know you've got a great group as well. You go to watch the game in, obviously, where you're sitting as well. What's your plans pre-match? And obviously, you know, I may see you on the pitch in a bit.
I might be on the pitch. Not if the EFL asks me. If the EFL asks me, the stand is for fans, okay? And the pitch is for players.
True.
I think I'm heading up there, aiming to get there at 8 in the morning, soak up the atmosphere, probably head down to the coach greeting, which I know some people haven't been a fan of, but I think the intentions have been a little bit muddled. I think it will be a really special event again, like it was at Exeter, where it was really nice. Hopefully people haven't bought the spark flares last time because that was quite dangerous last time. Yes, not the best idea when there's quite flammable clothing about and stuff. But other than that, it was a great atmosphere. So I'll probably head down for that. And the plans after that are to be confirmed. I'm just glad it's a bank holiday because Monday would come hard if it wasn't, I think, if all goes to plan.
Yeah, oh, thank God it is a bang on it. I think that's what they do with football, don't they? Make sure that end of the season is sort of around this time, so you do have that bang holiday to recover from hopefully a successful season or a dull season. You're just sort of like down your sorrows and go, oh, what season it's been. But wow, boys, one more sleep to go, 1 point needed, and Ipswich Town are going to be a Premier League team once again. Sort of round off the show. 390 people joining us, so thanks so much for joining us. With another great live show. Bainesy, Ben, Mark, any other business from you? Sort of final words, your final word before the game. Go with you, Bainesy, first of all. Anything else you want to say before we wrap up?
Yeah, just whoever's there, enjoy it. Take it all in. You know, these moments seldom happen in your life. So yeah, just remember who you're sat with. You know, try and take it all in as much as you can and enjoy the moment. Because yeah, as I said, we deserve to be here. So yeah, very, very exciting.
Top man. And I'll say it off air, and I've said it to a lot of people, the amount of times we've seen other teams be in this position, you think, oh, maybe one day we could be that team, and this could actually happen this Saturday, tomorrow. Tomorrow we could be that team. We see on the telly doing the pitch invasion, celebrating promotion to the promised land. We don't want to jinx it too much, but you know, to be that team, finally, it will be a special day.
Yeah, like Bainesy said, it's a day for everybody to enjoy, if possible. Hopefully the team perform and we can enjoy it. Celebrations after, again, if the team deliver. But as we've covered for the last hour or so, the team is so measured. They are, on the whole, so reliable. A joy to watch as well. An absolute joy to watch. I love from my season ticket seat, I love just watching our patterns of play, the way we play football. It's not just what is the result tomorrow, what is going to happen at the final whistle. It's enjoying the 90 minutes, enjoying that one last home game of the season and the way this team has played all season. Like a lot of people have said to me, Ipswich deserve it from their performances all season. And that's what I've enjoyed most about being an Ipswich Town fan last year as well. But the quality of opposition this year is definitely a step up, obviously. And for us to perform at these levels, I just can't wait to watch us play, Ross. And, you know, the message is to anybody, enjoy it. Enjoy the quality of football. Enjoy this side. And in terms of the team, you know, they don't need a battle cry. They don't need some idiot on a podcast to be saying, oh, come on, Town, play for the blue, play for the supporters. They've got it. They know what they're doing. They've got it. Relax. Sleep well tonight. Have a coffee in the morning. Get to the ground. Let's go.
Oh, bring it on, my friend. Bring it on. Well, Mark, I'll let you have your final say as well. Yeah, it's just going to be one hell of a party if it does happen. And final words, my friend.
I'll quote Kieran McKenna. Our job is to dream. Our job is to do. So go out there and do your job, boys, and then come and share our dreams with us. So it doesn't matter if you're in Phoenix, whether you're in Portland Road or Phoenix, down under, wherever you are, if you're an Ipswich fan, these boys are going to go and make their dreams come true tomorrow, and it's going to be a truly special day. And whether you're there or not, it doesn't matter. Just enjoy it for what it is, because these days don't come around very often. You know, this is the best team that we're ever going to see probably in our lifetime. I personally believe that anyway, unless they go and get the Champions League next year. But we'll temper those thoughts for a little while. But yeah, just soak up every single second of tomorrow. And enjoy it with the people, the loved ones who are with you, your friends, your family, and even the people who may not have made it. You know, do enjoy it for them. This is what it's all about. It's what football is about. It's about the people, isn't it? So, yeah, go out and enjoy it.
Oh, well said, my friend. What a way to end the show. Thanks, Bainesy, Mark, Ben, DF, for joining me as ever. It's been another great fan social. Next time we do another live show, Ipswich Town could be in the Premier League. What a feeling that could be. So, enjoy the game if you're going, ladies and gentlemen. If not, follow coverage, as always, with us. We'll be on all the platforms. It's going to be one hell of a day. Bring it on. And a good thing is, it's forecast to look very sunny. Today, it's been pissing it down in Suffolk. And I was like thinking, please don't be the same weather. Exeter was a beautiful day. I have a feeling tomorrow is going to be another great day as well. So bring it on. Let's see if Town can do it. 1 point needed. Bye for now, ladies and gentlemen. See you next time.
Come on, Town.